Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And welcome to the 16th episode of Tender Loving Care? With your host, myself, Pauline, and my darling Kate. Every week, Kate and I break down two shows from the TLC network. The name of the network that I believe for the longest time was an acronym for Tender Loving Care. And when I found out that it actually stood for the Learning Channel and I saw the types of shows that were on that channel, my deep confusion bred this podcast. Each week, Kate and I will randomly select two shows to cover for the next episode by spinning the wheel of Shame, which has all 113 and counting shows that we will be studying. Hello, Kate.
Hello.
How are you doing this warm evening in Austin?
I'm good. I had kind of a blah day where I worked early and I was sleeping all afternoon because I stayed up. I stayed up really late. I made friends with one of my neighbors and we were having some beers outside.
Oh, well, that's lovely. That's it. Now, is this a male or female?
It's a male, Danny. And shout out to Danny if you're listening.
Is Danny an attractive male? May I ask?
He is.
Or should
cute,
I ask that after the show? Okay, we'll talk about that after the show. Good. Well, you had a long night. Okay, understandable.
Platonic, I will
platonic.
Say.
Platonic, got it. Okay, I just, Danny, I hope you're listening. I did have to ask, I'm sure you are dashing. But okay, platonic, we have that established. And another listener, look, we'll do what we have to do. If we have to start hanging out with random people just to try and get more listeners to our show, we'll do that. I will go door to door asking people if they want a beer in exchange for them listening to our podcast.
Pounding the pavement.
Whatever
the potty.
I have to do. Yes. There we go. Pounding the pavement for the potty. Mm-hmm. That could be a new movement. I do see you're bringing a glass to your lips, Kate. What have we got here?
We've got a Cabernet. It's the $3 now at Trader Joe's. Cost of living going up.
Cost of living. Probably in LA, it's probably the $18 chuck. Probably, if that's what it is in Austin, it's probably $18 here.
Yes, it is wine, and I am drinking it. That is my review of it.
Fantastic. Well, I am going with the Corona Light. There's nothing more than I love. It's definitely my English roots. When there's a warm evening, oh, ice cold lager. Yum, yum, ooh, yum. That is what I want. And you know what? I'm going to need quite a lot of beers, probably more than usual that I have to get through shows because I need to tell you, Kate, and listeners what happened to me last night. Now, buckle up is all I have to say. Okay, listeners, I'm going to tell you a little story, a little bit about what's been going on. Kate does not know this story. A lot of my friends do because I was frantically texting them and calling them at 1 o'clock in the morning last night. So here we go. It is probably around like 11:30 or something, I've decided to start Sopranos again, because why not? Kate, we're not getting into that discussion if you've listened to previous party episodes, but I am a massive Sopranos fan, but I have not done from the beginning ever, I don't think. So I was like, you know what, let's dive into this again. And it is something to take on. I mean, these episodes are an hour and something each. It's phenomenal. So, you know, whatever. So anyway, watching my Sopranos and the way my house is set up, listeners, and maybe just bear with me here because I'm setting a scene for you and it is all going to be worth it when you hear Kate's response and when you understand what happened to me last night. So I'm in my living room. At the back of my house is my bedroom, and there is a window in my bedroom that connects to a little courtyard, okay? And the courtyard is shared by my neighbor. I have a front garden and then there's this little courtyard that's really my neighbor's. My window leans out into that. It's hot. I'm in LA. It's hot evening. So what I do is I like to have all my windows open, have my screen, obviously, windows open. I do not sleep with the windows open because I understand that that's how people get in. Serial killers are at their height during the summer because people leave their windows open. Richard Ramirez, that's how he got in every time, because it was a hot, hot summer and he got in through people leaving their windows open. So I'm safety conscious, trust. I'm watching The Sopranos. I hear a very loud kind of metallic bang. And I just went, oh shit. And my instinct, by the way, all of this is something deep rooted in my English soul. I went, I need to get up and go into my bedroom. My bedroom was pitch black. I go into my bedroom. I walk over to my window. So the window's up. I needed to pull it down to close it. I just see mesh. My blinds are up. And I see a large shadow. Let me say that. I mean, we're getting into horror movie status here. Oh, I see, God, this big, large shadow outside, pitch black. In my head, it's so weird how your thought process, it was probably a protection mechanism. I think it's raccoons. Because I have a lot of raccoons around here. Love them. They are dream angels. Love them. I'm like, it's a raccoon. And I just slam the window down, right? Lock it. Pull my blinds down. Move over to the other one. Do it. And go around the house and close all the windows. I sit back down. And I thought, you know what, Pauline? I don't think that was a raccoon. I get my flashlight and a knife. I go back into my bedroom. I have the blinds down. I open the blinds up and I have it dark inside, and I put a flashlight outside to see if I can see anything. And I see a fucking ladder up against my window. And I go, someone just tried to break into my house.
Oh my God! Oh my God!
So I don't know what it is, whether it's just this past year in my life, dear listeners, I will not bore you with, but it has been a challenging one. Let's just say it's been a challenging one for me, okay? A lot of stuff gone down. I am the wrong person to mess with because I have a lot of, I don't want to say anger. I will fight. Let's say I am a fighter, and I get angry when anyone thinks they can intrude on any of my personal space, let alone trying to watch my words here, but someone trying to break into my fucking house. So I see this and I step back and I think, now it's all clicking. My head is like, you go through this process. I'm like, someone just tried to break into my house. I get into my living room. My phone rings. It's my next door neighbor who never calls or anything. Mm-hmm. He says to me, Pauline, I need you to know that there's someone that just came up to my door and said he's getting chased by gang members with guns and he wanted to come into my house and he's in our driveway and he won't leave. Don't leave your house. Oh. And I just went, hey Brett, how you doing? So I think he just tried to break into my bedroom. There's a stepladder up against my window. And he's like, yeah, that's mine. He obviously put that up against there. So all these things are clicking in my head. I'm going, I just stopped him breaking in through my window. I slammed this window down. And you know what? I did it with no fear. If there had been a rat outside on my screen, I would have been more scared. I am just over it with everything. I have no fear left. You want to mess with me? You better be careful. So I grab a knife. I put scissors in my back pocket. I call 911. My neighbors already called 911. And by the way, just want to let you know on this. When you call 911, you're put on hold. I mean, it wasn't exactly that music. That was a little bit of fabrication. You're put on hold when you call 911. Someone will be with you soon. Oh, no worries. No worries. I'm calling 911 because I can wait. So I finally get someone, tell them the situation. Okay, I said he's outside my door. He's in my driveway and he's outside my door. Okay, we'll get someone. This was the tone. We'll get someone to you when there's a unit available. When will that be? Oh, we don't give ETAs. Okay, thanks, bye. My neighbor has a camera. She's sending me shots of him breaking into my house, attempting to break into my house. He's in my driveway still, just hanging out. So I'm feverishly texting my neighbors. I'm texting all my friends. My friend who lives close by, he's like, I'm going to come to get you. I said, you can't. He's outside my door. And I said, I'm not leaving my house. I'm not leaving my house for someone. So I'm waiting. I decide, learn everything that I've learned from episodes of I've Survived to episodes of all the true crime shit I've watched. First thing you do is you get your lights off. Because if your lights are on, they can see in. Everything's shut except for one big window I have in my kitchen. I was like, if he's in my garden, he's going to be able to see what I'm doing. Get all the weapons. You know, in horror movies, when you're like, they hear something, but they never grab a weapon. Mm-hmm. Always grab a weapon. So I've got a knife, a flashlight, and I have scissors in my back pocket. This is, by the way, this is a Tuesday night. This is a Tuesday night in LA. So I'm calling everyone. I'm texting everyone. They're like, get out of there. I said, I'm not leaving. And he's in front of my house. I don't know if he has a fucking gun. I don't know what he has.
Right.
So I'm in my house, turn all the lights off. I am creeping. Like, I'm creeping around my house, spying out the windows to see if I can see him. Cops aren't here. Maybe it's 10 minutes, 15 since my neighbor called. I call 911 again. I'm like, no. I get through to someone. I repeat. They said, oh, yeah, we have that. Someone will come out when they're available. I said, I need you to know he tried to break into my house and he's outside my house, hanging out, just hanging out. And they go, this is, I swear to God, listeners, this is the response. She said to me, have you locked your windows and your doors? And I said, yes, everything's locked. Okay. And he's outside. Yes, he's outside. Call us back if he breaks in your windows.
Sure.
Not a problem. Yep. Got it. Not a problem. Not a problem. I said, should I do that while I'm getting raped or after? Like, where do you...
Oh, my God.
So I hang up and I'm like, right, guess what? It's going down. I've watched every single movie of The Purge. No one is coming near me. And by the way, I was just watching The Sopranos. So let's add all of this up. One, I've had a very challenging year. Two, I'm watching The Sopranos. Three, I have knife, scissors, and a flashlight. Four, I'm English. So nobody stood a chance at this point. No. I was like, I don't care how big he is. He's going down if he comes near me.
Mm-hmm.
So I then see these flashing lights. I'm texting my neighbors. My neighbor has this camera. She's getting all of this. She's like, he was like up against the wall, scary horror movie style, like back up against the wall, like just watching the houses. Then cops, I see his lights, cops are there. So I opening the window and turning on some lights finally. And opening the curtains. I'm looking through. And then I see the cops have him and he's walking him down our driveway. My neighbor's coming out and I'm like, okay, now I can. So I open the door and my neighbor just shouts, you know, he was trying to break into my neighbor's house. She's kind of freaked out. And so I put my head out and I said, he was trying to break in. Like, he had a stepladder up against my thing and they're walking him down the driveway. And he goes, and the cop goes, oh, don't worry, he won't be back tonight. Close the door. And I'm like waiting for the knock of the cops to take my statement of an attempted burglary. Nah, they just went home. And they had asked him in the meantime, hey, do you need us to call you a cab? So... that was what happened last night.
Pauline, what the fuck?
My neighbor was like, I can't sleep. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to sleep really soundly because I don't give a shit. I am never going to make somebody have me terrified to be in my home. My home is my sanctuary. My home is my love. My home is my dream. I am not going to be scared. And I had friends being like, I'm going to come pick you up. Stay. I was like, I don't want to. I'm not leaving my house because of someone. Fuck that. So maybe foolish, but I did go to bed and I actually slept really well. But
well, I'm glad.
Call the LAPD. And listen, I am by no means somebody that hates against police. I would not have their job in a million years. They do not get paid enough. The realism of it is they're completely overworked. They were probably dealing with multiple shootings all around the city, and they could not arrest him for anything. They just took him down the driveway and got him off the property, and that was it. So
wow.
Tuesday nights in LA. I'm gonna have a new podcast just called Tuesday Nights in LA.
That is terrifying.
Yeah, but I wasn't scared. And I was trying to work out why I wasn't scared. And dear listeners, you may be saying, oh, was it because you were drinking last night? I was actually not drinking. So just FYI, there was no Casamigos. There was no Corona, except my friend did bring me Corona afterwards, which was really funny. But no, I didn't. I was angry, dude. Yeah. Don't you dare come near my house. I will slice your head off if you come anywhere near my house. I really should actually watch what I'm saying on this podcast. But in self-defense, that cannot be used in a court of law. I'm saying I will do that in self-defense. But I'm just angry. I've had enough, dude. I've had enough. After this year, I have had enough. No one is messing with me anymore. End of. I know this is supposed to be a podcast about TLC shows, but dear listeners, I like to bring you into my life. I like to bring you into Kate's life. I like us to tell you what's going on, and that's just an insight. So for all of you that think I'm gonna be a movie star, I'm gonna move to Hollywood, don't. Just really keep those bags packed and go and live in North Carolina or something, because it will probably be a better existence than living in LA.
Honestly, I had cops at the first place that Lanny and I lived.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Lanny, by the way.
Shout out. Hi, doll. There was like gang initiation going on, and
holy shit,
this gang like took over our yard and our driveway, and they were just like hanging out. And then all of a sudden, all these cops come. There was a helicopter with a spotlight on our house. Just LA things.
It's LA. Basically, it's Tuesday nights in LA. I really, you know, I think this is going to inspire a great essay series, at least, if not a podcast. Just Tuesday nights in LA.
Yeah.
So that's how I'm doing. I think we should probably get into the podcast now. So listen to that. Yes. I hope you enjoyed that little story. A cautionary warning about your 18-year-old that wants to become a movie star and move to LA. Yeah, think again. unless you're an angry English girl. All right, so Wheel of Shame last week gave us two shows, as it always does, and Kate and I watched the two shows. We are going to dive into, I think we should just dive into our first one, which is a doozy. All right, Kate, when you're ready, let's go.
Okay, so the first show that we watched for this week's episode of the poddy is My 600-Pound Life, Where Are They Now? So this is how TLC describes this show. Following the lives of overweight people who have undergone the transformation of losing large amounts of weight, checking in on their weight loss and exploring how they feel about their progress.
There we go. Now, Kate, because I've just been through a massive trauma, have we watched My 600-Pound Life?
No.
No, that we haven't. Okay, sorry. It's because I watched it on my own. That's why.
Yes. Yes.
We had spoken a little bit. Kate and I had said that I like delved into it. I watch enough TLC. I don't know why I had to pick another one, but I had seen My 600-Pound Life. Kate knew it very well. So I'd come on the potty a couple of episodes back being like, oh, I watched it and holy shit, this is crazy. Doctor Now, da 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 da. So we haven't actually got the Wheel of Shame. It hasn't picked it for us yet. So we're kind of doing it in reverse. This is Where Are They Now? So there was a lot. Kate and I decided there were 7 seasons. So we decided to just watch the last one, the 7th season. Now, I'm sure the majority of you listening, if you've never watched My 600-Pound Life, it's pretty self-explanatory. So every single, I think they have a ton of seasons as well, Kate. It's been on a really long time.
Yes.
Like, yeah, My 600 Pound Life. So obviously it's about morbidly obese people, and it's their journey of going to attempt to get gastric bypass or the equivalent, the sleeves and all of that, to lose weight, change their lives, etc., etc. TLC makes a habit of filming them in their worst possible states, a lot of nudity, getting removed by ambulances, like just really intense stuff that you see. And they definitely explore like the trauma, why they became binge eaters and why they eat, what their lifestyle's like, relationships with family. They delve into all of that. And they usually, I think they do two an episode, right, Kate?
Yes, there's two people per episode. And going into this, I thought that it would be more of an overview and a quick update, but it's actually just another episode for that person, a continuation of their story for an hour. Like, it's
right.
It's a lot more that goes on.
It really is a lot. No, we haven't mentioned Dr. Now yet, and I'm going to mention him now. So Dr. Now is the bariatric surgeon that everyone sees, and he became a star. For you, definitely Google him right now, guys, if you don't know what he looks like, while I paint a picture. My notes here just say, Dr. Now dash, where do I begin? I estimate he's 100 plus years old. The man, the man is really getting up there in age. Mm-hmm. He's probably about 5'6". He has been, he's Iranian, and I don't know how long he's been in the States. I think he's been here decades. I'd hasten to say decades. Accent just as thick, just as thick. And it's not even about the accent. With the heavy accent I've just put here, outstanding. His pattern of speech and his attitude to people is what made him a star. He talk like this. He talks. Oh, no, sorry. This is really insulting. I'm not going to try, but it's the pattern of speech is kind of like this. Do you understand you're going to die? You're awful. Try harder, okay? It's like that. The pattern of speech is outstanding. Plus, you really can't make out what he says, like 90% of the time. I don't understand him. I see here that you needed to lose 75 pounds. You didn't reach that goal. Why is that? And they always just say the same thing. You know, give some goals what to lose. Well, I don't know. I wasn't eating that much. And he's straight back. I know that you're lying to yourself and you're lying to me. What did you eat? He is a killer. He's basically a killer. He doesn't take any shit with these people. He's saying everything that, as a viewer, you want to say to these people, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't think this show would be nearly as popular, yes, or successful without Dr. Now. He's really the glue holding it all together.
All of it.
And he's, like you said, he speaks very economically. Like, he really only says what he has to say to get his point across. Beautiful. And he never changes intonation, even if someone's screaming at him. It's incredible.
And the big thing I didn't mention here, which is possibly the most beautiful thing about Dr. Now, is the dyed jet black hair. That's what gets me. It is as black as night. Definitely from a box. I mean, this guy has got to be worth a lot of money at this point. And you can tell he just got a Clairol or a L'Oreal out-of-the-box dye, jet black, got his wife to put it on, probably while he's operating on people. And it's just jet black, and he's about 100 years old. He is outstanding. Even when he walks, you just think you're going to get a little bit worried. You say, are you okay? Then you see him up, just operating on all these people as easy as anything. He is a miracle of science himself. He really is.
He's got a real steady hand, and he just kind of shuffles around, and then just no facial expression whatsoever as he's tying up someone's stomach.
It's, none. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
It's really something. It really is. So in this season, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, So we have like six episodes. One was a two-parter, which we'll get into. So we'll go through it. So this, the basis is that obviously in the 600-pound life that I have watched, I think, Kate, you've watched more than I have, but you get the people come in, you see their life. He says you need to lose X amount in 2 months to show me you can prepare for surgery. Majority of them get surgery. And then it does kind of end on a little bit of a cliffhanger. They don't follow them for many months afterwards. They may see him like a month later, but that's it. Mm-hmm. So this is following up where we are. So Kate, do you want to start? The first one we had in season 7 is Maya and Justin. I don't really have a lot on that one. Do you want to start with those two?
Yeah, so starting with Maya, she had a hard time meeting the weight loss goal for Dr. Now. And she was very much blaming her inability to lose the weight on her partner, Christian. And so Dr. Now turns to Christian, I hope you are getting all the support you need from Christian. Mm-hmm. And then it cuts to her being like, damn it, Christian, I hate you. You're ruining everything. And she's fighting with her boyfriend, Christian, and she calls her mom during her fight with her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And she's super codependent with everyone in her life, basically.
She is. This is a running theme as well. Like, you see with the majority of these people, it's the excuse after excuse. You get exhausted by the end of it. And as we say, hashtag save it for the potty, Kate and I do not discuss any of these shows. And we never will. Kate just sent me a quick text being like, hashtag save it for the potty, but I'm going nuts at some of these people. Because the excuses, they were given this surgery. And can we just also add that a lot of these people could not afford this surgery, but they got it through TLC. TLC pays for all of this shit, by the way. And they get this life-altering surgery, and some of them do fantastically well, like Justin, who we'll talk about. But other people, it's just always someone else's fault. And after you watch, as we had to, 7 episodes or whatever it was of this, you're just going, stop. They blame someone for getting there in the first place. They get the surgery, and then they some of them just still look very, very big, and they blame other people for why they're still the way they are. It's really rough to watch. It makes you so angry.
It does. It's really frustrating. For Maya, Christian, the boyfriend, leaves her.
Yeah.
In Houston. And she's alone for the first time in her life. And she's really sad. She's missing everyone. And she's really proud that, oh, Christian used to take the garbage out, but I do that now. And that's something I'm doing for me. And it's like, well, that's something you're doing so you don't get roaches in your kitchen. But yeah.
This is what is really hard to explain as well. Like, it's very easy to watch these shows like My 600-Pound Life and stare at them as oddities, as you would in Coney Island on a freak show, right? And go, oh, look at them. You know, they're morbidly obese. Like, it's so odd to just watch them, right? Because the befores, when they start this journey, some of them are just completely immobile. And they just eat and eat and eat and eat. And you can look at them as this sideshow. But to understand a lot of them, you know, there's definitely been multiple cases of, you know, perhaps abuse in their past, abusive partners, abusive parents, all of these things that kind of developed into this emotional eating, this binge eating, and where they are when they start this show. But the thing, which you can understand, but what is so hard when you really watch this and wrap your head around these people's existence, is that there isn't an existence. Like, the simplest thing that you would do in the morning as you're listening to this, wake up, brush your teeth, go to the toilet, take a shower, that is like, they're, to do one of those things is their entire day. They have eaten themselves into a point where they cannot function as a human being. There's no life. There's no even walking down the street. And so when they do something like that, they are, you know, so proud of themselves and so happy. But it's really, really hard to wrap your head around how much their life has just completely dissolved. So when they go and see Dr. Now and they get approved for this surgery, you know, you're watching this, you're going, you know what, you've been given this chance, dude. And the weight starts coming off really quickly. And without a lot of psychological help, a lot of them just go back to eating again.
Yeah, I mean, that's the crux of it, is they, and he, Dr. Now often says, okay, so you're still emotionally eating, go to therapy, and he sends him to a therapist, and then supposedly they work out all their issues in one session or whatever, but...
Oh, yeah.
That's what she needs to do, is look into her all these toxic relationships she has with her mom and her ex, and she's just afraid of doing anything by herself, and... Mm-hmm. Her aunt comes down, her Aunt Margaret. I wrote down something funny that happened here. So Aunt Margaret comes to town to help her after the surgery, because she's alone. And she goes, welcome, have a seat, I'll get you some water. And then the aunt sits down, and the first thing out of her mouth is, so how's it been living here all by yourself after Christian left you?
Oh, Margaret. Go straight for the jugular.
Damn. Ooh.
Margaret. So Christian was her husband, not boyfriend, right? It was her husband.
Oh, yeah. That's
quite
possible. Yeah,
I think it was husband. And he just walks out on her, right? So he'd been with her. This is another thing that's really interesting about human nature. You learn with a lot of these people. There are partners that are completely enabling, and there's parents that are completely enabling. There are so many enablers around a lot of these people. First, so they never take accountability for getting themselves in the way they are. And then there are partners that really don't like it when they lose weight. That was a thing you kept seeing as well. Mm-hmm. They didn't really like it, because the subject matter would start having independence and they'd be able to live a life. And where does that leave this partner that was so dependent upon? Their job is kind of gone. It's really dark. Most of these partners are terrible.
It's so dark, because when their partner is bedridden, they can really keep them under their thumb, and and they know every single thing that's going on in their life and who they're seeing. And then, there's one later on, I think it was the last episode of the season, where she's her boyfriend gets really jealous and
really
insecure.
Jealous. It's nasty stuff you see on this. Yeah. I mean, so Christian dumps. How does she end up? I really didn't have much. I just said she feels sorry for herself constantly.
She does end up getting the surgery. She says that she really needs this to go well. She needs to get the surgery, or she thinks her family is going to be upset with her, which is sad. And then it just kind of ends with her taking down the photos of Christian in the house, and she's saying she's ready to move on. That was kind of it.
Yeah, and then we meet Justin, who was the other subject in this doc, and he was like the epitome of what you want. He was amazing. He lost so much weight. He actually listened to Dr. Now, and Dr. Now lays out a plan, and he's like, it's simple. Just follow the plan, and you will lose the weight. And it's true. Like, if you just follow it, you will lose it. And Justin was an example of that. He was canoeing at the end. He was learning to fly small planes. Like, his entire life changed. His entire existence. And this where are they now? You see them after they lose the weight, and then the surgery to remove the loose skin, because they have a lot, obviously, as you can imagine, a lot of loose skin. And he just flourished, Kate. He just completely flourished.
He speaks at a conference.
Yep.
To other folks that are interested in the surgery or have had the surgery, and talks about keeping it going and everything. And he becomes a runner, which I'm personally impressed with, because I think running is the worst thing.
It's the worst. Let's just take a second to just say running is the worst thing you can do. Here's the deal with running, okay? I understand it's great cardio, obviously. It's going to keep you fit if you're a constant runner. You're going to be slim. You're going to work a lot of muscles. You're going to be tight. Your heart should be healthy. Also, your knees get wrecked. Mm-hmm. Your ankles get wrecked. No one should be running for working out. Do something else apart from running. Any runner I know, just injured all the time.
Always
all the
icing
time.
Things. And
always.
Yeah.
Always.
Not for me.
Nope.
Don't be an actor in Hollywood. And don't be a runner.
We're giving out such great advice to you guys this week. We really are. Okay, let's move on to the next one. So that was basically Myra and Justin. That was the first one. So Justin did really, really well. He lost all the weight. It was like, shit, he changed. I mean, he became like a quarter of his weight. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Next one we had was Brianne and Anjanette, I think was the name. Anjanette had a girlfriend, Erica. The first, we need to add as well, TLC is brutal with these shots. So when they're interviewing them, you know, they do, they obviously go back and they show you a lot of their original episode. This is the angle, and this was kind of something that we mentioned in Too Large as well, our episode a couple of weeks ago. The TLC camera is deliberately placed. Imagine you're sat on a chair and you're leaned back a little bit. They place it nearly at your ankles, so they get the widest shot to make you look monstrous. And they also will love it if you don't have clothes on. They love filming you out of the shower. They love you struggling to put clothes on so they can blur out your ass. It is brutal how TLC films these people. There's no dignity. None. No. And the first scene for Anjanette is literally her lying on a bed, just starfish, right? And her girlfriend is putting deodorant in her folds. Tough start.
Intimate moment there.
And her girlfriend, Erica, we kind of follow them a little bit about their relationship. And, you know, Anjanette was just mostly concerned, obviously, about losing the weight and changing her life. And Erica was like, well, my goals are more about what we can do together. And Anjanette was like, it's all about my weight loss, which it should have been. And they kind of broke up. And then Anjanette got the surgery. You know, the first scene I put here was her laid out as I just described, and by the end of it they got back together and she was walking upstairs at her apartment. Now it was a massive difference, and she was back with Erica. It was really nice to see, like, she was, you know, they were moving into this apartment on the third floor and she was walking upstairs, which she could never have done at the beginning. Never. No. So that was really, really cool. Anything else to say about that? I just kind of noted.
Yeah, I don't have a ton on that. This was probably one of the, I don't know, sometimes the partners, you feel like they are just really sick and tired of it and they're not being that supportive, but Erica seemed pretty supportive. And
she did, and she really loved her. I think they really loved each other, but they just needed a break while Anjanette concentrated on getting herself healthy, and that was it. The only thing with this show is, as you said, Kate, it's a where are you now, but there's a massive amount of the show that just shows you their original show, if you know what I mean. Like, if they had followed them for, like, 2 years post-surgery, you would really get an idea of their improvement. But the half of the episode is just like, let's review what their original episode was, and the other half is just like where they are kind of like 12 months later after the surgery. It's like we're really not getting the full layout of what's going on. So that's a bit
they gotta pump out the seasons as fast they don't want to do 2 years of filming.
Yeah, I mean, Dr. Now's, you know, 101. They have to be careful with their time at this point.
Yep.
Brianne, this was interesting. Now, this is a woman, talk about rooting for someone. So she had a husband. She had a stepdaughter. She was very, very close to. The stepdaughter kind of referred to her as mum. And she had the surgery, lost the weight, and her husband cheated on her. So, and he decided to just leave her. So he had been with her. You see this, it's such a weird pattern. He'd been with her this whole time. And while she was so overweight and really didn't have much of an existence, she starts getting her shit together. She starts on this path and she loses weight. She also has a miscarriage at this point as well. She didn't know she could get pregnant. She got pregnant and unfortunately it was a miscarriage. So she's going through that trauma as well while she's concentrating on her health, gets the operation, husband's gone. Husband cheats on her and moves in with the new girlfriend and she's left alone.
It's because
just a big sigh there. That was just a communal sigh from Austin to Los Angeles.
It's because the partners are threatened by this sense of power or something, this confidence, and they're not used to that dynamic and they can't deal. And so
it's very true. And this stepdaughter was so great to her, and you see her kind of at the end, she's, you know, bleached her hair and she's like changed her look, she's lost all this weight, and the stepdaughter's like, I'm here for you. And it was kind of a nice ending with that, and her asshole husband was doing whatever he was doing, but I'm sure she would be on to a really, really good path off. That was kind of like a success story, I would say, with Brianne. She got rid of the dead weight of her husband and the weight of her body and got healthier. So I think that was positive one. We're going to now move on. This is a good one. I say good, you know, I mean good. When I say this was a good episode in any of these episodes of podcasts, and I'm talking about a TLC show, you know that that means drama and horrendous circumstances. I just want all of you to be aware. This woman is Angie J, and there was so much to talk about her. They did two episodes of her follow-up.
Yeah.
Kate, do you want to introduce us to Angie J? I mean, I don't know where to start, but I want you to start.
She kind of reminds me of another Ange on the network.
I know.
Angela from 90 Day Fiancé.
And guys, you got to know what we're talking about. The bosom. The heaving, monstrous bosom. The cigarettes down the breasts. You got the tattoo. You got the attitude. It's all attitude and screaming, and she's right all the time. That's our Angela from 90 Day Fiancé. And you're right, there's similarities here.
This is a really explosive episode because this is the most heated you ever see Dr. Now get, I think, in any episode. And she is one of the most defensive, stubborn people I've ever seen on a reality show, period.
Yeah, I mean, to start with her, so obviously you see they take you to her original episode. The woman's got this husband, I think it's a husband, boyfriend, whatever. And he is an addict, as is she. And yes. Dr. Now confronts her with it and said, listen, you want to lose this weight? There's so much passion in my voice. But for him, it's like, if you want to lose this weight, you need to lose 75 pounds in the first month. And he's like, and we did your tox. We did your like blood work. And he's just straight with her. He's like, you're a drug addict. We can see consistently high levels of whatever type of drugs it was, and you need to go to rehab before we approve you for this surgery. I'm not an addict. How could he say that? I'm gonna prove him wrong. He owes me an apology. I need an apology for him because he's a liar and what he's saying about me. These two episodes made you want to pull your hair out of frustration. Just complete denial, complete defensive continuously about her saying that she wasn't an addict, where she completely was. She was very, very ill. She needed rehab. She needed therapy. Dr. Now was calling her out on everything. You show results of you have fentanyl or you have whatever in your blood. No, I don't. He's lying. He owes me an apology. This entitled act didn't stop from the second these episodes started to the end. Give me medication. She goes, just give me medication. Like the arrogance and the entitlement that oozed out of her made me nauseous. It was so awful, Kate, watching this woman.
Especially that scene where she's at this point homeless because no one in her life wants to take her in anymore because she always has these deadbeat drug addicts, boyfriends.
Rewind a little bit because her husband robbed her. So I want to just to set the scene. So this is what happened. She's living with her husband in a house, right? She comes back from the appointment with Dr. Now. I don't need anything. He's a liar telling me I'm addicted to drugs. I've never taken it. All this bullshit, right? Husband's completely off his head, which she, you know, says, yeah, he's probably on a drug binge. Yeah, he takes drugs, whatever. I don't. She's like, yeah, he goes away for like 2 days and then comes back and I know he's been on a binge. Then you're cut to a scene where she says that she came home, all her medication, because of course she's on numerous amounts of medication for 100 different things, have all gone. Her husband's left her and it was all set up and her home was robbed. But essentially he'd set it all up and robbed her. He'd taken all her medication. He'd taken all the shit in her house and left. So she's like, I'm having so much trouble here. My head hurts. Just give me medication. And Dr. Now is like, you're a drug addict and you're trying to get drugs out of me. That's not how this works. You are so selfish. How can you tell me you're not going to give me something to help? He goes, your problem is psychological. She goes, well, give me some medication for it then. The husband's gone. The house is gone. She goes and moves in with she has to move in with someone. By the way, constant boyfriends. I would just like to, and I know the phrase boyfriend I will use loosely, but this man, like, she loses the husband, right? And she's like, I can't afford to stay here anymore. My neighbor's going to take me in, who was this youngish kind of thin guy, like younger than her. And he's like, come and live with me. And she's like, it did turn sexual. She can barely walk. And yeah, she's getting laid by this guy.
He's enamored. He's enamored with her. You can tell.
Oh, my God. He really was. And she was saying to him, she goes, come and do your job, when she was like trying to move and she can't walk. And he's like, come and help me. I don't know who these people are. I really don't. But I was shocked at how many boyfriends she had. She's at one point, she goes to doctor now. This was another thing. Her running theme was she was always dying. So she constantly needed to get to the hospital. I know I have cancer. I know I have ovarian cancer. I know I have this. So she keeps going to the doctor, and doctor now is like, there's nothing wrong with you. And she's like, well, give me medication. A full-on addict behavior, right? She's just constantly trying to get medication. And he's like, there's nothing wrong with you. And she's like, can you check for STDs? And I'm like, I'm sorry. You've been having a ton of sex, have you? Huh. That's interesting. Mechanically, I don't know how that works, but okay. I mean, she can't walk, but apparently she's still getting laid. So that was something. Constantly sleeping with, there was like, in this episode, there was a husband, there was two other men that she was sleeping with.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say to you listeners about that, apart from I realize I should be having a lot more sex in my life, apparently. Because if she's getting laid by three people, I really need to be working harder. Maybe I need to gain 600 pounds. I don't know, but
well, it and was her a personality lot. Alone is she enough is to make monster. That surprising.
She's a monster.
But let's talk about the therapy session, though.
Oh, God.
Dark childhood.
It was. Yeah, go ahead. I can remember bits of it.
I have it all written out here.
Oh, okay.
So,
go on. So Dr. Now, just to preface, Dr. Now finally gets it. Like, you need to go to a therapist. I'm not going to a therapist. I'm not a drug addict. You need to apologize to me. I love how all of these people completely think they're doctors, by the way. I love it. They barely finish high school and they're like, I know what Dr. Now is talking. I know what Dr. Now should be saying. He's like, get to a therapist. So she finally goes, and Kate,
well,
please regale us.
She doesn't even have to go anywhere. This therapist, Dr. Paradise, makes a house call.
Dr. Paradise, Dr. Paradise, I just want to leave that there. Just let that hang there in the air for a little bit. Dr. Paradise.
So he comes to her home, and I thought he did a good job with this session. Sometimes these TV sessions are really bad, and this one was okay. He got her to open up a lot about her past. So he's asking about her life. She's the oldest of 12 kids. She had an alcoholic mom who had affairs. Her mom was an alcoholic who was having affairs on her dad. She had a physically abusive, drug-addicted dad. And then she tells this absolutely horrible story of how her and her siblings, when they were kids, witnessed her dad tie the mom down to the couch, rip a beer can in half, and used it to cut an X on her chest.
I actually forgot that. Maybe I just blocked that out.
It's
You're
horrible.
Right. I forgot. There was massive abuse and 12 children. Oh, God.
So
it was bad.
She ends up still being close with her dad after that. And she says he's the only one she could rely on. And she had to be the mom to a lot of the siblings because the mom was off having sex with people and drinking. And her mom had her when she was 16. And she said that her mom would always say, my dad died. So this lady's grandpa, my dad died hating me because I had you and I wish I never had you.
I mean, right there is just years of therapy to just get over that one statement. I mean,
yeah. So rough. Dr. Paradise makes the connection for her that all of these things have made her feel like she's not worthy of happiness. So she sabotages herself. And once she learns how to actually value herself and her life and what she's bringing to the world, she will start to take care of herself and you know, not do the drugs and not binge eat and all that stuff. So
yeah,
it was a really, really intense therapy session. She says her dad's dying wish was for her to lose weight and get healthy. And that's kind of like what's driving her at this point.
Right. So, I mean, she goes to that and it's a two-parter. I mean, this, they had a two episodes on Angie J because, what happened, she's going through, I don't know where this therapy kind of landed with the two episodes, but this man that, kicks her out eventually because, well, she's horrible, but kicks her out. And so she's like, I'm homeless and it's everyone else's fault. Which is a typical addict, like, you know, it's everybody else's fault that maybe that's unfair. I shouldn't say a typical addict, but addicts that I've encountered, personally, it's very common for that behavior to blame other people for your situation. There's no accountability, especially not with her, no accountability of her weight, of her health, of anything. So she's now sleeping in the park. And this guy, like, visits her all day. It's really weird. She's like, he should get me a home. My family doesn't answer my phone calls anymore. I'm like, yeah, I wonder why, dude. You're awful. Mm-hmm. And then back in the hospital, it's like a really hot summer in Texas. So, like, boiling. And she's in the hospital. And doctor now is like, there is nothing wrong with you. Just give me medication. He's like, you're a drug addict. Like, doctor now. No punches pulled. You're a drug addict. You're not getting anything else. And there's nothing wrong with you. She's like, I'm dying. Just give me stuff. He's like, well, go to rehab. I'm not going to rehab. I'm leaving now. And he's like, okay. How did this even end with her?
She starts ripping out her own IV. And he's like, no, have the doctor do that. Have the nurse do that. And how does this go? So
she then, I remember we see her in a house at some point and she's like, I'm going to prove doctor now wrong. I'm going to prove him wrong and lose this weight by myself. And I think that was kind of it. I don't even know if she made.
She meets with another doctor with a strange name, Dr. Flowers, Dr. Paradise and Dr. Flowers.
Just all made up.
AKA Jeff, the PA with a mustache on.
Exactly. Jeff's back, everyone. Jeff's back.
And Dr. Flowers is actually able to reason with her and kind of tease her and joke around and get on her level. And he kind of has more emotionality to his voice than Dr. Now. And I think she connects with him more.
Yeah.
Gets less defensive.
She does. He breaks down because he's like, oh, you're sassy. No, she's not sassy. She's an asshole. But okay, fine. Let's call her sassy.
She eventually agrees to do an outpatient detox program. Gets off the drugs. She gets approved for the weight loss surgery. And then during the surgery, they discover a huge hernia that they have to deal with. And then they staple her stomach and they removed 80% of her stomach. He holds it up, Dr. Now. And it is, he goes, this is the biggest stomach I've ever seen. Look at this. And he's like,
this is the biggest stomach I've ever seen. And he's decrepit. And once again, he's 5 foot. 5 foot, I'm being generous of 5 foot 6. I'd go with 5 foot 2. And he's 101 years old and he's performing this amazing surgery perfectly. Everyone needs to do whatever they can to save Dr. Now so he can live forever because he is outstanding. Just stood there holding a stomach. He's amazing.
So then.
That was what happened to her. I guess that was it then, right?
Yeah, she goes back for her checkup. She's still complaining about like all these different pain things. And then a couple weeks go by and she moves back home from Houston. She's like living with family or something. And she's like, well, a couple weeks went by and all the symptoms I was having went away. So I guess there's a chance that Dr. Now was right. And it's like,
Yeah. And then I think the camera crew was just like, can we go? Like, let's just wrap this up.
Oh, she gets her hair done. Yeah, she gets her hair done.
Oh, yeah, that's it. And they're just like, let's wrap this up and pack our stuff and go.
Yeah.
Two more episodes that we have. Gene and Brandon. Brandon was one that... this was great because a doctor now. I know, yeah, you're laughing because you know too. Okay, Brandon was... very much like the first episode with Justin, a success story. This guy was really, really overweight, had a great girlfriend. He said, I want to get married. I'm a musician. I want to get my shit together. And he did. He followed everything, lost so much weight. And it just proves, you follow what Dr. Now says and it works. It absolutely works. He looked great. He lost a ton of weight. He proposed to his wife, wife-to-be, became fiance. They got married. So he gets all this weight, gets the operation, loses all the weight. I think he even gets skin removal. And then you see him. This is great. He's in like a follow-up with Dr. Now, right, after all of this. And he says, you know, I just want to thank you. And there are a couple of people, not enough, but a couple of people that go, Dr. Now, I just want to thank you for everything. And Dr. Now's response is, okay, so you need to lose maybe 25 pounds. And so this guy, Brandon, is so happy, right? He's getting married to the love of his life. He's everything. He's playing music again. And he says, you know, thank you so much, Dr. Now. And I want to, I finally proposed and we're getting married. And I actually want to invite you to the wedding. And it is literally just like, cannot compute. You have his jet black hair, Dr. Now's jet black hair, hunched over decrepit form. And he just goes, pause. Okay, that's okay. Great. Okay, that's great. So I'm glad you lost so much weight by following this. Just ignored. Like, he could not compute.
No.
Just someone going, thank you. You're amazing, Dr. Now. Come to my wedding. This guy was so sincere. He's like, you've done all this for me. You've done all this emotion. Pause. Just silence. Okay. So good what you did, Brandon. Let's move on. I see with your charts. And Brandon's just like, I'm sorry. And he repeats it again. Dr. Now's not having any of it. Not having any of it. He's too busy. Too busy saving lives.
Brandon broke Dr. Now.
He the did. Other funny thing just cannot compute.
The other funny thing from this episode is that so he lost so much weight. They do this scene in every single episode where it's like the saggy skin scene where they're in front of the mirror. Yes. And they're just like flopping around their saggy skin. And so he does that and he tells us that him and his fiance have decided to move to Nashville so that he can pursue his music career. And he's kind of like making it sound like, oh, I'm starting to get opportunities. And you're like, oh, good for you. And he's like, I don't know. I don't know if I should wait a month to get this skin removal surgery. Cause what if I miss out on my opportunity in Nashville to be a star? And I was just like, honey,
ooh.
It's going to take more than a month before you're on the cover of Rolling Stone.
Do we break it to Brandon? How it's like, as I said at the top of this episode, I want to be a movie star. I moved to Hollywood. It doesn't. It's Brandon.
You got time.
You got time, dude. You got a lot of time. So don't you worry.
He had a really nice voice, I thought.
Yeah, it was fine. Yeah. Fine. Listen, how generous I am. I mean, I know you've heard my singing on this show before. It really is. I mean, it's like my accent work. My singing voice is pretty. My vocals are similar to my the level of expertise, my accent work. So,
yep.
You know, I can say fine. Then we have the second person in this. And I'm going to actually pass this over to Kate because this was the one that nearly broke Kate. You think Brandon broke Dr. Now. Jean, whatever her name is, nearly broke Kate. So, Kate, over to you.
Really, this is your stage. Down.
Go.
Okay, so when they flash back to her episode on the regular season of the show, she went to Dr. Now at over 700 pounds. She had really poor hygiene. He was finding, like, poop particles on her legs, and she had, like, feces in her sores.
Sorry. I didn't know.
Sorry.
I didn't
trigger
know that.
Warning, poo-poo. And so she also had this like huge infected sore on her leg that they had to immediately address. And she got put on, she was one of these people that got immediately put on the controlled diet. Like, you're staying here.
Yeah.
And she lost 53 pounds in the month that she was at the hospital. And then by the time she goes back for her follow-up appointment, she's gained weight. She has her mother with her. And this is very much like a Little Edie situation. It's like they are completely a unit and she's completely dependent on her mom. And she's like in her 30s, I think, Jean. So she's back at the follow-up appointment with Dr. Now and her mom is with her. And she's gained some weight. Dr. Now, of course, is like, you gained weight. Why? And her mom then reveals that she has a huge infection on a failed skin graft from a surgery she had. The mom pulls up her shirt, and there is this, like, the size of your, like, hand sore, infected sore on her stomach. And Dr. Now is, like, shook. He looks over and he's like, you need, well, and by shook, I mean, yeah, you need to get that address right away.
You need to get the address right away.
Yeah, that's him being really disturbed.
That's really, yeah.
And so they go to the hospital. Mom has surgery. And while they're there, they find out that her dad, Jean's dad, has passed away in his sleep.
Yes.
And after that loss, they decided they're not going to return to Houston to continue working with Dr. Now. They're taking a break off to grieve. And then a month later, so they're back at their hometown. They live in Texas, but not in Houston. So the mom, a month later, has another infection because she didn't wash her sutures at all. And so she goes back to Dr. Now to get surgery again to remove all this infected skin and stuff. And the Jean is left to her own devices at the home.
Oh, God.
Dad's gone. Mom's gone.
Yep.
Her home, first of all, is horrific. It's
I can't.
It's a one-room shack.
I can't, Kate.
And I know we're both really sensitive about this, but there are 11 dogs. Okay.
None of which are getting walked or taken care of.
They look miserable.
I can't, Kate.
So she barely leaves the bed. The dogs are just pacing around this little room. And I mean, this is the best. It's not the best thing for the dogs. It's the best thing for Jean, though, that, like, she finally has to be by herself for 1 minute and do one thing by herself. Because her mom just waits on her hand and foot. And she's like, oh, yeah, my mom's been gone. And I've had to do all the housework. And I'm like, housework? Where? Because the house is filthy.
It's disgusting. It is absolutely disgusting.
And she, let's see.
I honestly skimmed it all because I couldn't watch the animals suffer. This woman didn't give a shit about herself. She didn't give a shit about these animals. Mm. And it was so appalling. I was like, I can't. Remember, Kate, I said to you, I can't deal with these type of situations. Like, I really can't. I can deal with someone trying to break into my house. I can't deal with watching TLC shows. Like, when it comes to hoarders, I'm telling you, I don't think I can watch that show. I don't know. You might have to do a show on your own because I can't watch Hoarders.
That's totally understandable to have that boundary because it's really rough. It's probably the darkest thing on the whole entire channel. So I understand. Okay. So another thing that happens when the mom is away in Houston getting her infected sutures tended to by Dr. Now, because Dr. Now says he's operating on the mom. She clearly hasn't washed these in the whole month since she's been back. There's dog hair in here. There's dirt in here.
Kate.
Yeah. So it's disgusting. So then Jean tells us back in Big Sandy, Texas is where they live.
Fucking hell.
BFE. So she says that the dad was cheating on her mom when she was in the hospital and he used the rest of their money on a dating site.
And what?
Yes. And she says she's glad he's dead.
Sorry. Okay, listeners. When I say I skipped it, I mean, I genuinely skipped it because I couldn't see, you're watching animals suffer. Like, I could not watch it. So I was like, fuck this. So I kept fast forwarding it and just got... Kate, I didn't know that happened.
Yeah. Yeah. She says she's glad he's dead. but she laments, get this, she laments that they don't have his disability checks coming in anymore, so they don't have any money.
This woman is as much, listeners, if you think Kate is exaggerating or anything, she's being completely genuine. This woman is abhorrent. She is a disgusting human being. She is the mentality of a 12-year-old in a morbidly obese 30-something-year-old's body, and she is completely reliant on this, on these parents. They're codependent. They are terrible people. It is torturous to watch, hence why I fast-forwarded. So then, I couldn't watch it.
Yeah, and I also want to say, I tend to have a lot of sympathy for most of the people I watch on TLC.
You do. Not me.
Because there's always trauma. There's always something under the surface that has led them to this point, right? But, like, with just once in a while, you get someone and you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
So she is... So this is, I'm still kind of in the same part of the show. So she's still at home with all these dogs, right? And the mom is still in Houston. Doctor now calls her and he's like, you should come back. Your health is on the line. And she goes, well, my mom's there and I don't drive, so I have no way to get there. And he goes, ha ha ha, that's funny. We'll send transport for you. And she goes, well, I don't have anyone to watch the dogs. And I was like, bitch, you're not even watching the dogs.
Yeah, you're not even caring for me.
She just uses them.
Disgusting.
She uses them as an excuse to not go down there. And he goes, well, we can't do everything for you. Surely you have a friend that can watch your dogs. And she goes, I don't. I don't know. I just don't. And so then the mom comes back. And she finds one of her friends to watch the dogs so that they can go back there. And she goes, oh, wait, sorry. There's so much here. I'm skipping.
I know.
She goes, oh, yeah, I'm so. So the mom gets back. She goes, I'm glad that she's back because it's just been really rough. I've been doing everything. I don't fall asleep until after 10 or 11. And then I'm up at 7 or 8. And I was like, so 9 hours of sleep?
Yeah, terrible. Doing nothing because she has to sleep so much because she's done nothing all day.
And you can just smell the house through the TV. It's like,
Kate, I couldn't. I just
pee and rotten food and moldy tile. And so the mom's friend is going to take care of the dog. So she finally goes back to Houston to see Dr. Now. She only lost 57 pounds instead of the 160 that she was supposed to. And Dr. Now, I'm not seeing any evidence that you're going to stop making excuses. She goes, I was sick and I drank a lot of orange juice and had some pineapple and stuff because that's what my body was craving. It's what my body needed.
We're not making this up. These are quotes. I saw that. She is the epitome of arrested development, enablement, laziness, selfishness, entitlement, and complete arrogance. She's disgusting.
Doctor Now is like, overeating is overeating, and you're still 550 pounds.
Yeah.
She goes, I was sick. Right, and that's when you had the orange juice instead of taking care of yourself when you're sick. Your body, if my body's craving something, your body is craving to be 600 pounds?
Yeah. Doctor Now is, whew. Give it to us, Dr.
Either,
now.
Either you want this or not, this is your life, and you're killing yourself with food. That's what he said.
So how did this end up?
So she keeps making excuses. I've been through a lot of stuff. She keeps using the dad's passing as an excuse. When, I'm sorry, a couple weeks ago, she's telling a camera crew that she's glad he's dead. And then, let's see... They're back at home. The mom's like, are you still wanting to get the surgery? And Jean is like, everything just keeps getting piled on and on and on. And I'm like, what is getting piled on? Like, you have this health issue, and that's like the only thing going on in your life, really.
There's nothing in her life. Nothing.
So then she's just vaguely overwhelmed. I wrote down the quote from season 5 of RuPaul's Drag Race, Jinx Monsoon. Delusion. Convince yourself. That's all I could think of this whole time. So, she's not making progress. She keeps going back and not making much progress. But he ends up actually approving her for the surgery, which I was really surprised about.
Okay.
And she's having this rude awakening because she's not enjoying eating food, because what happens after these surgeries, listeners, is like you're really nauseated and you have to adjust to eating a very small amount compared to what a lot of these folks were eating before. So she's not enjoying food. She doesn't have her only coping mechanism anymore. And a few days after the surgery, she goes to one more checkup with Dr. Now, and then she drops out of the program, not surprised.
And I actually have a little bit of update, because Polly decided to do a wee bit of research. Research, aka putting her name into Google. She sued the show, which surprises no one when you watch this bitch trying to get an easy dollar. She sued the show because apparently TLC didn't pay for the $70,000 in medical bills because she didn't fulfill her contract. So she tried to sue them, and it was thrown out of court. Yeah, that's how that ended. Google her and see. It is disgusting. Still trying to but she wouldn't abide by anything that the show. I think there was some contractual follow-up interviews or something she had to do, and she wouldn't do it. So they said, we're not paying for your medical bills. And it was $70,000. That's how entitled these people are. It was so much.
That's really surprising to me that she had the gumption to file a lawsuit when she could barely even make the bed or do anything.
I mean, yeah, it is. I just think, I don't know, it's just trying to get anything for free. And it kind of made me realize as well, $70,000, all these people are getting that gift of $70,000 in medical. It was unbelievable. So anyway, that was her. Think about her again, listeners, but please think about her animals, and hopefully they're with the person that looked after them while they were away, because I'm sure they had a much better time than with her. Horrible. Last one we're going to cover. I know we spent quite a lot of time on this, so let's wrap this up. Okay, last one was Silas and Tiffany. Tiffany was incapable of walking, I have here. She lost 139 pounds in 1 month in the hospital. Went to rehab to walk again, and then lost another 70. Oh, sorry, this is Silas. Did I say that? Silas? Oh, Tiffany, I'm sorry, I'm getting confused. Silas, yes. Oh. Has a incapable of walking, has a daughter, lost 139 pounds in the hospital, went to rehab to because he couldn't walk. Yeah. His entire life was in this tiny ground floor apart. It was some of these are really rough to watch, dude. Really rough. But he learned to walk again. He lost another 73 pounds, got the surgery. He had his wife, Jessica, and it seemed kind of like quite a positive ending. They really have much more in him, actually.
He got super slim. He went from being over 700 pounds and bed bound, and he had the youngest daughter, because he had stepdaughters as well, and the youngest daughter, he said, didn't have any memories of him that weren't him laying in this bed. So that was so sad.
Wow.
And that was really motivating him, because he wanted to be able to parent these children and not have the wife doing everything. Well, they're not even married, and then they have a priest come to the kitchen, and they're wearing do you remember this? And they're wearing t-shirts and baseball caps, and they're just sitting at the counter, and the priest.
I didn't get that. I don't know if it was even a priest. I think it was, I don't know, some officiant, but it was very odd. And they wanted to get married, but then they didn't even get, they could have got married in a back garden and it would have been prettier than this. They were both stood at a kitchen island. It was a really weird scene.
It was
and
so weird.
And they didn't even kiss. It was really strange, really strange. But he did lose a ton, and that was
Going boating
awesome.
By the end of it. They go to this really depressing zoo.
We're not discussing zoos.
Okay, we'll move on.
Yep.
Okay, yep. So
moving swiftly on. Tiffany. Tiffany, she had a boyfriend, Aaron. She weighed 672.5 pounds. Someone just sit for a second, whoever your weight is, whoever is listening, whether you think you need to lose weight, whether you think you need to gain weight, whether you, you know, just knowing your body and how you feel in your body at the weight you are at the moment. Maybe some of you kind of, you know, are at this point. I have no idea. Maybe we have people that are listening that are at this point, and I'm sure you can empathize of the struggle. And but to the majority of people, to really contemplate the amount of weight and pressure that puts on your bones and your organs, it's just, and a lot of these people aren't even like, I'm 5'10" and I'm thinking, you know, a lot of these people are like 6 inches shorter than me in this weight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so much weight. And I know that sounds like such an obvious, simplified thing to say, but it's just that when you really think of these numbers, 672.5 pounds on your bones.
You're really like asking your body to do a lot.
Your like, body can't do yeah. anything. You know, it's really bad. I know she had gallstones I put here, and she needed surgery, but she was too big to operate.
Yep. And she goes, yeah, I kind of knew I had this issue, but I just didn't really think it was that big of a deal. I was like, what? So then...
And then, yeah, what happens there? Boyfriend Aaron, I've put here. Cousin Jasmine. I just can't really remember how this ends.
Oh, so this was the one where they were having arguments. They kept foreshadowing that they were going to break up the whole time. Mm-hmm. And they were having
yes.
money issues. They had to... Their lease was up because they had moved to Houston for her to, you know, work with Dr. Now and everything. And the lease was up, and she wanted to stay so she could continue with the program. But he was like... We're broke. Let's move back to California yes. and move in with my family. And she was like, no, I want to keep going here and stuff like that. And they're freaking out. I'm like, why don't they just get a sublet or a, I guess that's simplified, but sublet or like an Airbnb or something. I think they end up putting everything in storage, and then they go to a hotel, and then she's making really slow progress. She lost like 7 pounds in 2 months or something. And then, they break up and he moves back to California. She tries to stay in Houston, but she can't afford it. And so she ends up moving yes. in with her mom in Washington.
That's it. And is this where you see her? Then it ends. I think this is the one where it ends and she's around a table and they've got a load of sweets and they're like, do you want to eat this? Is that her?
Maybe it was someone else.
No, that might have been somebody else. There was someone that ended up, they break up with a boy. I can't even remember. But they end the scene and it's like her back in, I feel it was like Washington. And she's like, oh, I'm home. I'm so glad to be home. And there's the mother, the grandmother, and like an aunt. And they just have a load of pastries out. And they're like, do you want this? Or should we make you some cute? Or should we cut you up cucumber? Nothing in between. It's either pastries or cucumber.
That might have been this, actually. I think I skipped ahead a little. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was.
She gets a job and she's saving to go back to Houston. That's pretty much it.
So that was it. So guys, that was all of season 7. And by the way, once again, all these episodes are like an hour and 25 minutes. So we only did one season, but it was enough. You get an overview of exactly what it was. Just kind of for TLC, it was just kind of ridiculous because they spent so long showing. I understood you kind of, they could have done it a lot speedier, showing their original episodes so we got an idea of who they were, and then do where they are now and spend longer on that. But they were just kind of, I think Jeff the PA gave the suggestion of like, look, we can bounce these out really quickly if we just do half the show repeating footage from their original episode, and then the rest of the half I'll go and film for you. And so they were like, Jeff, you got it, go down to Houston, get the shit done. And we have, you know, seven seasons of these episodes. So what we do now is, that was our first show that we covered. We need to give it a rating, as we do with every single show. We do a rating of 0 to 6. Oh, well, very apt. Mm-hmm. Kate came up with 0 to 600 pounds of learning for each show we do, based on the namesake on My 600 Pound Life. Kate, how many pounds of learning did you give the show?
I did 225.
Yeah, I did 100. Just low. I mean, we got a little bit here and there, but, you know.
Most of that is for Dr. Now.
Oh, yes. Yes, 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 yes.
I thought there were a lot. There were actually some insightful, interesting moments between some of the other therapists and some breakthroughs that I enjoyed watching, you know, just from a observing humans perspective, just like, oh, well.
Yeah, I mean, and I think I gave my £100 purely because I learned a new accent. I learned the tone and his jet black hair. I had to give that £50 at least learning how stunning it was. Like, how do you get your hair that black? And you know what? One side note I do need to add when it comes to research, because I looked up Dr. Now's age and he is 101. And I did find out that at the top of my notes, his son Jonathan created the show. Did you know this?
No.
So Jonathan Now Zazarian, or whatever his full name is. Sorry, I don't know. I don't have it written down here. But he just goes by Dr. Now. His son Jonathan created My £600 Life.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a producer and in the industry. And obviously he knew his dad was a star. Like, he grew up knowing my dad is a star. What I would have loved if we had footage of Jonathan pitching this to his dad.
Yes.
So, Dad, listen, I've got a really great idea. Look, I know you wanted me to follow in your footsteps and become a doctor. I don't want to do it, Dad. I want to be a movie star. I want to go into the movie industry. I've decided I can create television, and you are the star. You are the person I want to focus on. And it would just be a long silence, right? Okay, we can film on Monday. That's it. And that's what happened. That's how the decision was made. And Dr. Now is now a star. He really is a star. And it's all thanks to Jonathan. So thank you, Jonathan.
I bet that's exactly how it went down. And that just...
Absolutely.
That just makes me wonder, like, knowing that he has a son and a family now, because I just kind of pictured him as being by himself with like a with like a greyhound dog or something.
Oh no, not but Dr. Now.
I would love to see his speech at his son's wedding. You know, he's just like, thank you all for coming. Don't have too much cake or you'll die.
Thank you all for, I like my son a lot, and my my daughter-in-law is great. If she could lose 25 pounds by next month, I would be able to approve of a surgery.
I will pay for the honeymoon.
I am deeply in love with him. In love. And, you know, he's 101 now. And we keep our fingers crossed he's going to reach 102. Because we need him. We need Dr. Now. And Jonathan, thank you. Thank you for recognizing the star power of your father and creating My £600 Life. Because you... brought to the forefront a man that is everything we could hope and dream for. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, so Dr. Now, we're finished with you. We are finished with My £600 Life, Where Are They Now. We're gonna move on to our second show. Before that, Kate, how about we take a quick break?
I'm gonna get more wine
and I'm gonna go and check my windows are locked. Be right back. Hello, it's Pauline here, and I am jumping into the middle of the convo very quickly to first of all thank you all for listening and supporting us on our podcast journey so far. And to let you know, we have a new segment we're preparing for ongoing poddy episodes. We have a call to action to anyone listening that can become one of our agents in the field. In future episodes, we will be including stories and tales sent in by you, our dear listeners, to give us the inside scoop. If you or anyone you know of has been on a TLC show, worked on a TLC show, has been a long-suffering PA on a TLC show, or has just any kind of insight and knowledge of what goes on behind the scenes, we want to hear from you. All submissions will be kept completely anonymous. Just email us at tenderlovingcarepod@gmail.com. You're amazing, and back to the show. Okay, our second show is Conjoined Twins... Inseparable. And TLC describes this as in the following way. So dramatic readings. I'm just getting actor prepares. The rain in Spain stays mainly on the play. Okay. The challenges conjoined twins Carmen and Lupita face every day as they fight for their independence and prepare to tackle college life, away from home. See, that would be good for my reel when I, you know, when I start getting, when all of these voiceover jobs start flooding in for me, I want to let them know my range. I want to let them know that I can do the jovial. I can be light. I can be bright. And I can get the serious. I can get the BBC. Serious news. Down. So I just want to make sure that everyone knows my range. So within this podcast, just got to keep practicing. I am basically selling myself as much as I possibly can. And, you know, email me. Email me. Feel free to use the Tender Tender Loving Care email address for all of my work offers. I'm fine with that. All right. So that was our show. So let's see what... we're still doing a podcast, right? Not just promoting myself. Okay, got it. Okay. So we are on... This was our second show, Conjoined Twins Inseparable. So... This was a one-off show, so it wasn't a huge series. It was one-off. It was about self-explanatory conjoined twins. Now, this is another thing, the themes of TLC. We have a lot of shows about little people, conjoined twins, and the morbidly obese. And this episode, we covered two of them. We've already covered little people with Seven Little Johnsons, loads of other ones I think we've already done. So this is Carmen and Lupita. Now, I am going to go off and just say what was actually interesting about this show, this one-off episode, is that I thought it was going to be the typical, you know, sideshow kind of talking about just them being conjoined and how they live their life and everything like that, and a little bit of a spectacle stuff that TLC does. But it actually took a really surprising turn. It ended up being about immigration and immigration reform. It was really layered. The two girls, Carmen and Lupita, were born conjoined. They have two spines. They're joined at the abdomen. They have two legs. So one, each girl controls one leg. They were born in Mexico. So they, because conjoined twins is obviously such a rarity, there's specialists that know how to help them. So they had to come to America, ended up in Connecticut with surgeons there that helped them, that said they could not be separated. So they are in Connecticut living there. They're 18 years old. So we're seeing them graduate from school, from secondary school, from high school. And kind of going on about, you know, there are a lot of questions being asked about their lives, the usual stuff. They said, you know, we've been asked everything you can imagine. But then it takes a turn. It's all about their immigration, because essentially they came over to America on a visa for a medical emergency, and it keeps kind of getting renewed every year. And we were in the midst of seeing whether it would be renewed again, because legislation has had switched for people coming over on that visa. So we met her parents, Victor and Norma. You know, these girls were only supposed to live for 72 hours. Mm-hmm. That's what their mother was told. And you know, they're talking about their lives being conjoined twins, but predominantly a lot of it was about immigration, which I found was very deep for a TLC show, but very informative and very, very interesting. Especially myself, I'm on a green card and I know a lot about immigration and how tricky it is here and there with everything. So it's always interesting for me to learn about people that are on different visas and how they are in this country. So they're not American citizens, but they're kind of in this gray area. So you see them going to immigration lawyers to deal with all of this. And in the meantime, seeing them at school, they go to an agricultural school. So they really want to be around animals. And you saw them learn, I think it was Carmen wanting to drive. So you see a little bit like I don't know, Kate, if you've seen any of I'm sure they were all TLC shows I actually watched about conjoined twins. And a lot of it is very much what you'd kind of expect. It's all about, well, can you have sex? And do you have boy? You know, all these very, very intimate things that is kind of exploitative.
They ask that here.
Yeah, they did. But there was more layers to this show as opposed to previous ones I've watched where it's just kind of like, you know, let's talk about this and see how you put on clothes and let's watch. You know, there was kind of an icky factor with all of this. But this, I felt like it was much more thoughtful. I thought it was much more thoughtful. What did you think? What was your take on it?
That's interesting because my note is that I felt like it was surface level.
Well, I do. Well, that's interesting because, I mean, I found it was surface level in their day-to-day ability. I wanted to know more about how they functioned and what it was like meeting people when you're walking around a town and you're a conjoined twin. Like, what do people say to you? But I actually really appreciated that they didn't focus on all of that because there's been 100 documentaries on TLC and anywhere about those type of questions that are asked conjoined twins, whereas they were focusing on it, the immigration aspect. So that's interesting.
I think it, I totally get what you're saying. I appreciated that they brought this aspect up because obviously it's like the biggest thing going on in their lives is because they've only known life in the US, but yet they're in this middle ground where they're not citizens, but they are because this is all they know. And so I liked that they showed all of that, but it just felt like they kind of would bring up a topic. They would have this kind of corny voiceover of the twins just being like, yeah, we go to high school just like everyone else.
I know what you mean. They did do a lot of that. It reminded me of Unpolished. You know, when it was, she was sat at the table and being like, this is my crazy family. Let me start with telling you about,
we got dealt a weird hand and we just have to deal with it. And it was just, it was like sort of, they just kind of presented it, but I felt like I was craving for them to sort of dive deeper into these women's girls' feelings. It just felt a little bit like, just barely scratching the surface of what they, but that being said, they are really young girls, so I can see why they didn't like push them to that.
I mean, I think there's several things here. I think it's probably because I've watched a lot of conjoined twins documentaries. We're not going to ask why, but I have. And then second of all, I think it's also to do with the fact that we had something else. I cannot remember what it was at this point, but that we had watched it. We've reviewed another TLC show. Oh, you know what it was? It was Jyoti. It was when we did Jyoti. Yeah. And you said, and I was like, why did it end so abruptly? And you pointed out, I think it's because it was supposed to be a series and they pitched it. It didn't go to series. So they just like released the pilot. Yeah. And I'm wondering if it was the same with this.
I wonder.
Because you're right. There was so much like, but what's your day-to-day life like? What's it like when you meet someone? How would you, you know, TLC would love to go into how do you date? And even though both of them are like, we don't date, we're not interested. But, you know, what was it like when you go to a new school? What did everyone say? And what's it like when you travel? How do you get an airplane? You know, all of this type of stuff. But I think it was kind of like a Jyoti thing of it was supposed to be a series. That's why it thought, why were you kind of like, oh, that was it? Oh, okay.
You nailed it. It's that same feeling. It was an abrupt sort of ending, and it left me wanting more a little bit.
I feel you're right. I did as well. I was kind of shocked at the fact that TLC was going political. I think that's what
it was. Yeah.
That's what got me, and I was like, wow, good for you, TLC. Okay, definitely. I like this. You're talking about immigration reform. Okay, I really like this. I'm talking about the struggles of this family and these two children that have been here as babies, and this is their life. They are American.
Yeah.
Everything about them is American culturally, and yet you could put them on a plane and tell them they have to go back to their country of birth when they have no idea what it's like to live there.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, TLC, wow, okay, you're going, this is interesting. But it was very short. As Kate said, it was a one-off, and it was like 45 minutes or something, and that was it. So I don't really have a lot to say apart from that they, you know, they showed them in school. They had tons of friends. They were learning to drive. They talked about, you know, how one of them controls each leg and some of the crazy questions they get asked, if they're psychic, if they, you know, all of this. And they did say that because they do share the same bloodstream. So if one of them dies, both of them will die. If one of them gets sick or has any type of infection, the other one will as well, mm-hmm. which is very interesting. Mm-hmm. And they did get their visa to stay. But yeah, I realize here my last note is kind of over prematurely.
Yeah.
So yeah.
They had that scene with that teacher. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes.
They were really pushing for this inspirational moment with the teacher.
Sorry, I'm getting a amber. No, it's a silver alert. Shit. Sorry, listeners. Sorry.
That's crazy. I got one of those while we were still talking about the first show. An amber alert, that is.
Oh, you did? This is a silver alert. Missing endangered elderly. Oh, that's sad. Yeah. But I'm on Do Not Disturb, and it's still... I didn't even hear yours go off. Anyway, sorry about that, listeners. Sorry. Kate, carry on. I was saying about the teacher.
Yeah, so they have this really nice teacher who they've formed a bond with, and it did make me feel a little emotional because he's like, I believe in you girls, and it's been nice having you as students. They had these little touching moments here and there, but
there was so much more they could have done. But mm-hmm. I think we may be right. It was probably pitched to go for a show and it never got picked up. Yeah. I think that could have been. And I think it would actually be a really interesting show because of their status as immigrants. I think that would have given it a lot of depth. But TLC went no. So that was Conjoined Twins and Separate. I don't have anything else to say. Do you?
Nope.
Yeah.
What was
sorry,
your rating?
Guys. Okay. Didn't give it one, so let's give it one now. I would give Pounds of Learning for Conjoined Twins Inseparable 222.
I went low. I did 51.
Okay, I had immigration. I learned about immigration on that one, so I'm going to give that more than my £600 life. All right, so let's move on to the part of the show that gets me the most excited. Am I excited about talking about each shows we get every week? Of course I am. Of course I want to rage. Of course I want to talk about my opinions, see what Kate has to say, go against everything we kind of, you know, go for everything we feel about these shows. I love discussing it, love having a rage, love having a discussion about it. But this part of the show, listeners, dear darling listeners, is our Wheel of Shame. Wheel of Shame is, as I said at the top of the show, a wheel that we put in every single show on the TLC network. We spin it every week. We never go against the wheel. Whatever they say, whatever show comes up, we pick two and we watch them. If we can find them on TLC platforms, we will watch them. We review them for the next week. So Kate, are we ready to go in
for our first
spin?
Oh
okay,
yeah.
Let's spin it. All right. Come on. Give us. So tell me what you're feeling. Tell me what you want.
I want some romance. I want romance.
Romance. Okay. And when we say romance on TLC, obviously that means disastrous romances.
Right.
I just want to make sure, you know what I wouldn't mind? I wouldn't mind 30 inches tall and turning 18. Wouldn't mind that. Wouldn't mind that at all. Wouldn't mind a kind of born with albinism. There's a couple I'm going for, kind of one-offs. I'm feeling a one-off, and I want like an odd one-off. I want ones that we haven't really explored before. And I guess we have done Little People, but all right. So let's spin this wheel. It's spinning. Let it go. Come on, let's see what's going to. You know what? We didn't say Alaskan Woman's Love, and we didn't say Darcy Stay. So here we go. Hang on. Oh God.
Uh-oh.
What's that response telling you, Kate, when I say that?
It's something with a lot of seasons.
Or what are my two venues that I
It's either wedding or babies.
Say yes to the prom. So yes to the dress we covered in season or episode whatever the fuck, and we both hated it. Now we have to say yes to the prom.
No.
Kate, can you check if it's on there? Because I'm hoping A, it isn't. And if it is, that it's like one off. Can I be that hopeful?
Oh, yeah, right. It's going to have like seven seasons.
Stop. Look, TLC's smart, though. They knew they had a bunch of morons that watched Say Yes to the Dress. So they were like, let's get a bunch of younger morons that are going to watch Say Yes to the Prom. By the way, I just alienated the majority of our listeners. I'm sorry.
So sorry.
So sorry.
Not the one majority. Off. Wait.
I knew it.
No. Oh, no. Shit. There's.
Oh, Kate. Don't get me excited like that. How many? Say yes to the prom. Come on, it's got to be a one-off.
Oh, okay, right? There's 2 one-hour things.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you, Will. Will Shame, thank you. Yes to the Dress. Say Yes to the Dress had like 58 seasons or something. So, all right, we've got Say Yes to the Prom. All right, Kate, maybe we, you know, Wheel of Shame is so good to us. I just want to send out loving vibes to the gods of the Wheel of Shame. Maybe it's one-off or one, you know, two-off. Maybe they're going to do it again. So I'm going to spin again, Kate. You ready?
Wheel of Shame. Ooh, ha, ha.
Spinning. Let's see. Come on. This could be good. This could be like a little mini. Come on, do a mini. Something fun. Okay. Guys, I need all these listeners to understand none of this is rigged. This is an automated, like, this is a Wheel of Shame. Everything's on there. We have no, it's completely random. Like, completely random. Kate, this second show, Kate. Hang on, I need to see your reaction when I tell you this. Cake Boss. Okay. No. If anyone, our listeners will remember, 2 or 3 episodes ago, we had to sit through the most dramatic retelling of Buddy Velasco's fingers and his whole hand getting like caught into a bowling alley machine. And I said to Kate, when we get Cake Boss, there's like 800 seasons. It's been, Kate, this has been going on for like a decade, this show. I'm not, I need you to look at it right now and tell me, because I guarantee you it's been going on for a decade. And he makes cakes for celebrities at this point, and that's it.
There are 14 seasons of Cake Boss.
All right, listeners, we love you. The Wheel of Shame gave us one good one, and this. We're not watching 14 seasons. How many episodes per, hang on, how many episodes per season?
Let's see.
I bet it's going to be like 10. Yeah. I bet it's going to be 10.
I'm going.
Because it's, I don't know any TLC show that is less than that. How many?
Anywhere from 13 to 38.
So did you say 38 per season?
According to Wikipedia, season 4 has 38 episodes.
Okay. Guys, I don't, you know, the Wheel of Shame is so interesting because what it's doing to us, it's saying watch one and we'll get the counterpart up. It's very interesting. It's done it with Amish. It's done it with what's the other one that is did the that it's done the spin-off? Obviously, Cake Boss now.
600 Pound Life, Where Are They Now? So we'll probably get 600 Pound Life soon.
Like next week. Yeah. So the Wheel of Shame is funny. You know, we're not going against it. We love it. We pray to the gods. We make our offerings every week to the gods of the Wheel of Shame. This is just going to be tricky. This is going to be tricky. So what we're probably going to do, listeners, I know a lot of you like to watch along with us. So with Cake Boss, I think what Kate and I do when we have these monstrous seasons is we kind of Google the top 5 episodes of Cake Boss and we'll just see what we get and then we'll watch that. Because there's no amount of alcohol or drugs or anything on this planet that would make me sit through 900 episodes of Cake Boss. It's just not going to happen. So we'll do like top 5. We'll Google something like top 5 and watch them. Because guess what happens? Hey, guess what happens every week? He makes cakes. I mean, that's it. That's pretty much what's going to happen every week. And there's going to be shouting. They're all going to be shouting.
I mean, I will say I would be interested to see how, because by the time we saw Buddy Velastro Road to Recovery, he was a huge star and they had this performance going on. They were so performative. So I think it will be kind of interesting to go back to like season 1 and see
how
they were. Should
we do season 1?
Maybe just like first and last episode or something. I don't know.
We'll of season one. Wolf. Okay. Because that actually makes. Let's do it before they became stars. Yeah. A movie star. Let's do it before they became stars because that is a really good point. When they first got the show, and seeing how the mechanics of their business they're starting up, and then maybe we could watch the most recent season.
Yes.
Yeah, let's do that.
We're gonna turn into these caricatures of themselves.
That's it. Okay, guys, so we're gonna do some from first season and last season. Cannot guarantee every episode, but that's what we're gonna do for that. So all right, for next week we have Cake Boss and we have Say Yes to the Prom. All right. You have your assignments for next week. We have our assignments. Before we go and wrap up this episode, do you want to plug our social media? Go ahead and follow us on TikTok at Tender Loving Care Pod and Instagram at Tender Loving Care Pod. Would like to say that there is a certain TikTok. There's a certain TikTok video. Don't know why I'm reverting back to this accent. There is a TikTok video that I think we can actually classify that Kate and I went viral. I don't know what viral is. It a million? I don't know. Viral. We have 42,500 views on one of our latest TikTok videos, so we're super proud of it. We think now we're basically movie stars. So
I called my mom. I was like, I finally made it, mom.
We finally made it, Kate. We finally made it.
You're right.
We are, we're basically really, really big now. So
yeah.
Thank you for all your support, guys. We're going to dump you as soon as we can get some good advertising and move on to my voiceover work. But, you know, thanks for the support so far. Kidding, we love you. So please go and follow us at TikTok at Tender Loving Care Pod and have a look at the video that made us go viral. And Instagram, Tender Loving Care Pod, our Twitter, TLC Poddy. Email us. We've already mentioned kind of agents in the field earlier in the show in our break, but that's Tender Loving Care Pod @gmail.com. That's our email address. Please go ahead, send us all your loves, tell us where you're listening from. We love to hear all of that stuff. I love kind of looking at our analytics and seeing the cities and the countries everyone's listening to. I think it's super, super cool. And obviously thank you so much to everyone for listening and telling people about our poddy, because it means a lot and we have a ton of fun doing this, and it's just wonderful to have people listen to our bullshit. All right, Kate, anything you want to plug this week?
I would just like to thank everyone for listening and request that if you have a moment, rate us 5 stars on whatever app you're listening on.
Yeah.
That just helps people who are finding our show just validate that it's a great show.
Great.
It's such a great show.
So great.
So, yeah. Thanks, everyone.
That would be awesome. Yeah, thank you so much. I'm going to do a little bit of plug because it really is all about my voiceover career. Obviously, you can contact me on the TLC TLC email, TLC at gmail.com. You know, that tenderloveandcarepod @gmail.com, all my voiceover work. And also, I want to plug my Etsy store. I have created a line of notebooks and t-shirts and sweaters and hoodies and blah, 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 blah. All kind of surrounding. It started off with The Real Housewives. That's how Kate and I fell madly deeply in love over The Real Housewives and everything Bravo. From there, it's kind of gone into a lot of pop culture, from YouTubers to TLC monsters to housewife monsters. Everything's on there. So please go ahead and check out my Instagram, which is abritinthesun, B-R-I-T in the sun. That is going to lead you to see kind of what I have on my store. I have great notebooks, if I do say so myself, hoodies, t-shirts, everything you think of. So go ahead and have a look at that and check out my Etsy store. All right, I think that's all the plugs for this week. Kate, we have our mission. We know what we have to do for next week. We're going to learn a lot about cakes and a lot about bullshit proms. So thank you everyone for listening. You're amazing. Please, as Kate said, tell anyone, anyone, the bus driver, the toll booth operator, anyone you can.
The man outside your window.
The man this way. Actually, guys, turn around right now because he's right behind you. Just say, before you break in, check out this podcast. It's really, really, it's pretty good. Pretty good. And tell Larry David. All right, guys, thank you so much. We will see you next week.
Have a good week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.